Well, I was meant to be talking about something else today, but a few days ago I just had this pressing feeling that I needed to really talk about how deep the Father's love, and as today is Father's Day, it seemed appropriate that I changed it. So the title of today's talk is How Deep is the Father's Love? It isn't so much a question as a statement. But first, as is the custom of my husband to start his talks with a joke, it seems only right that I should begin this one with a dad's joke. So I'm going to call up the king of dad jokes, Rog, to tell one.
So Frank was feeling a little bit apprehensive. He'd been persuaded by his daughter Maureen to purchase a smartphone for the first time in his 72 years of humble existence on this planet. It will mean you can contact us wherever you are and whenever you need us. And make sure it's an Apple phone, Dad, Maureen had said, because then I can download the Find My app onto your phone so I can keep tabs on you wherever and whenever. Frank had no clue what she was talking about, but he was doing his bit to keep his daughter happy. He'd spent the last hour listening to a young sales assistant blind him with science, but had been presented with what he had been advised was the perfect device for all his needs. He had agreed for the sales assistant to set up the phone for him because, after all, if he had to do it, it would never leave the snazzy cardboard box that it came in. I just need you to come up with a password, Frank, which will be your exclusive access to the phone. We make it really easy here, and we only ask for an 8-character-long password. No numbers, no dashes, no special characters, the sales assistant had said. Well, Frank was well and truly flummoxed. He reasoned long and hard, but just could not think of anything. It really isn't that difficult, the frustrated sales assistant had said after 20 minutes of waiting for Frank. But it really is very difficult, Frank replied. Another 10 minutes went past before suddenly an excited Frank shouted, "I've got it! I'm sorry it's taken me so long, but how about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?"
I apologise. 7 characters, I guess. 8 characters, yes. You do realise my talk is now longer than 20 minutes, Martin. I'm sorry about that. So how deep is the Father's love? The reason I'm sharing this is because I've been challenged personally, because I know the knowledge of this is the best place to start from. When we know how deep the Father's love for us, we operate from that starting point, and it's the best place to live. When we really know the Father's love, we don't need to strive to prove to be anything other than his child. Now, to be childlike is not being childish. It's knowing our true identity and having freedom to be all we are meant to be. And I think you would agree, our nations are in an identity crisis. The generations today are in an identity crisis. And just as Mufasa tells his son Simba in The Lion King, remember who you are. We need to remember that we have a divine role as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, the King. We say the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. We know the Trinity is made up of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know he is a good Father. But when you don't see answers to prayer, when you're still waiting for breakthrough, dreams to be fulfilled, when life is a struggle, it's easy to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? And are you there, God? And we try and work things out and almost try and fix things. We get impatient and try to do God's job for him. Well, one morning last week, as I knelt on my knees at the end of myself, really, I felt him say this. What if I said to you, child, that you're doing my will if you refuse to worry? What if you were to let me be the father and you be the child for a change? Instead of thinking ahead, stop and just be. Look around you. See what you see. Smell what you smell. Hear what you hear and feel the breeze on your face and taste new things. Be present. Be here and now. Let me meet that inner need to be held, to be known, to be loved, and to be still. I have it all under control. I have your future in my hand. Now breathe me in and let me be your everything. Well, last Sunday, I watched as Martin and Sue's son Matthew held his baby Luke, who was snuggled close, content, and asleep. Matthew doesn't expect anything from Luke. He just loves him, reassures him that his dad is near, near enough to hear his heartbeat. Now, there's a lyric in one of Wren Collective's songs that God is near. And it says this: "You're closer than a whisper, close enough to hear my heartbeat. You're closer than a kiss." And just as Matthew's heart towards Luke is one of love, so too the heart of our Heavenly Father is one of love, because he is love, in 1 John 4, verse 8. So how deep is the Father's love for us? Well, you know the next line of the song. It's vast, beyond all measure. Knowing God as Father is a journey for us all, because even those of us fortunate to have had a dad, and one who was and is loving, no matter how great our Heavenly Father is or was, they're human. They cannot be with us 24/7 like our Heavenly Father can. Well, let's look what the Father is like. This is a very glamorous couple. It is my mum and dad and me coming off a plane. Now, when my mum and dad moved from the house that they've been in for 48 years in December, in the loft were drawings I did as a child. Now, I can't recall them. I can't remember doing them, but it really showed an insight about how I saw my dad from a five-year-old perspective. So, this is Daddy working in the garden. It's a drawing of a blob on legs pushing a giant triangle, for those of you listening. It's meant to be a wheelbarrow or perhaps a flymo, judging by the fact he's suspended in the air. Now, every Saturday, without fail, he would dig his mum's garden and do jobs that needed doing. And this picture had the caption, "Daddy playing with me." Now, what it probably should have said is, "Daddy giving me a fireman's lift." Because we used to love the fact that he'd lift us upside down like a fireman does. Now, I've got this image now. As an 18-year-old me, as a young reporter, I spent the day with White Watch. Now, Yvonne's husband, Norman, was part of this team at the time. And I think this is what I was trying to portray as a five-year-old with my wax crayons. So here I am at 18, having a fireman's lift from a real fireman. So what is a father? Well, I would say he's a protector, a teacher, an encourager, a person who picks you up when you fall, brushes you off and lets you try again. He's someone who's admired and much loved, and often referred to as a son's hero and a daughter's first love. A father cares for his family. He shows his children the way they should go in this world. He protects and works hard, sets a good example, and make sure his family doesn't go without, even when he does. My own dad, father to me and my sister Kim, and Rog, the father of our five girls, share one thing in common. They both have a fiercely protective heart towards their daughters. They will get up in the middle of the night, drop anything to pick up their daughters, no matter how far they need to drive, or whatever the circumstances. My own dad has rescued me on many occasions. As a young reporter, I was driving my little yellow Mini in my first week of passing my test and managed to get it wedged in a narrow lane in Bisley. he managed to get me out of that situation. He even once cut me out of a pair of really tight jeans when the zip got stuck and I had no way of getting them off. Now, dads go to places other people don't dare to go. He would even go and buy sanitary towels for us when we were too embarrassed. I also think this following poem is applicable, especially for my dad. It really is about cats. But if you substitute cats for dads, it works quite well, especially as they get older. Dads sleep anywhere, any table, any chair. But the thing is with dads, the more time you spend with them, the more you become like them. Here's a case in point for the benefit of the listeners. It's a picture of me and my dad asleep side by side. Now, what is really important is relationship. You need to understand the father's heart before you can really trust the father's voice. I'm going to say that again. You need to understand the father's heart before you can really trust the father's voice, because then you hear the loving tone in which the words are given. And this is key with our relationship with God as our Heavenly Father. What we think the Father is like and how we understand what his heart for us is vital, because we can limit him by our own experiences, our perceptions, our disappointments, and so on. We are and always will be his children. As he often reminds me, let me be the father and you be the child. Don't run ahead of me. Go back to what I said to you. Don't look at what I appear to be doing in other people's lives. I've called you to live yours. And just because they have something and you don't, doesn't mean I love you less. It means it's not right for you, and you will receive what is right for you at the right time. Now, the Father's heart is one of love, and it's so big that he has room in his heart for everyone. His love is so deep, it cannot be measured. And it will take eternity for the Lord to show us how big his heart is towards us. He's always thinking of us, watching us, even watching over us. We're so special that he longs to talk to us and be involved in every part of our lives. Now, one of my favourite verses in the Bible is a verse that reveals the Father's heart. It's in Zephaniah 3, verse 17, and it says, "The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Now, Matt Redman puts it well. "I have heard so many songs, listened to 1,000 tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, you sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony, you are singing over me, the Father's song." Now, here's a question for you. Have you ever asked the Father what song he's singing over you? Well, I did. And immediately I got a response, and it took me by surprise because it was a song that came out 40 years ago. I hadn't heard it for years. And it was the same year my own faith journey began. It was this: "Nothing's going to change my love for you. You ought to know by now how much I love you. One thing you can be sure of: I'll never ask for more than your love." Now, recently we were talking about the issue of God's silence and how sometimes when God appears to go silent, it's easy to think that somehow we're not doing something right and he's annoyed with us. But he doesn't give us the silent treatment that we often give each other. His silence may well just be the fact that he enjoys our company and are glad that we want to be with him. Prayer, after all, is communing, chatting with God, sometimes with words and sometimes without. When we're with someone we love, we don't often have to say anything. Just being there is enough. But how do we know in our knower how deep this Father's love is for us, for you, for me? We have to look at the Son. we have to look at Jesus. We can't understand the depth of the Father's love unless we understand the relationship of deep love between the Father and the Son. In the Bible, God says of Jesus, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." Jesus acknowledges this in 1 John 5, verse 20. "For the Father loves the Son," Jesus says. This is where his security comes from. He knows to whom he belongs. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If Jesus is the way, then there must be a destination. His ultimate desire was to tear the veil between us and the Father and lead us into God the Father's loving embrace. This is what the heart of the Father is all about. Now, in the next verse, Jesus says, "If you really knew me, you would know my Father. From now on, you do know him." When we look at Jesus, we see a reflection of the Father. What we see him doing and saying in Scripture mirrors that of our Heavenly Father, because it says in John 5, verse 17, that the Son can do only what he sees the Father doing. Jesus was sent to lead us to the Father, and he models what it's like to have an intimate relationship with God as Father. He even calls him Papa. The issue is that God the Father is holy, and we're not. Now, if we go back to Genesis, we see Adam and Eve walking and talking openly in the way the Lord intended, that intimacy and freedom to enjoy being themselves in his presence all the time. We see them living in an innocent and sinless life in the Garden of Eden like children. Now, before the service, I asked for a song called "To Be a Child Again" to be played on screen. It's written by J.J. Heller, and part of the lyrics go, "I want to talk to God like he's just sitting on the edge of my bed, to sing when I feel like it, dance like I'm good at it, love like I'm made for it, to be a child again, feel good inside my skin, see magic in everything, to be free and wild." I think that's what life was like for Adam and Eve until they disobeyed and ate from the tree of life, which they were asked not to touch. They knew they'd done wrong and immediately knew they were naked and tried to hide. They were banished from the garden and the close relationship they once had with God had gone. The judgment was made. Humans messed up. We needed someone to help us get back to that status of being free, knowing our Maker in an intimate way and not having to hide. And the only one could do this was the second Adam, namely Jesus, who's 100% human, who's lived life inside human skin, walked where we walked, experienced what we experienced, and yet is 100% God, ultimately 100% holy. There's a price to be paid. Here we have a Son loving his Father, the Father loving us, the Son loving the Father and wanted to do his will in redeeming us, the Father being just, knowing a sentence had to be made, yet giving up his Son, who willingly chose to, and to die on a cross to pay that sentence for us. We can't look at the cross without looking at God the Father and God the Son. The love between them was so deep, but it was their plan to redeem us so we too can experience that love. That the God of all time and space would want to love us, each of us, and know each of us by name is almost incomprehensible. And of course, it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the revelation to understand that we need a Saviour and gives us the power to live the Christian life. Now, let's be clear here. There's no competitive spirit between Jesus and his Father. There's a perfect harmony here. Each recognised that the other was to be honoured equally. Just as Jesus says, just as they honour the Father who sent him, Jesus is to be honoured. They saw each other as equal and took pleasure in seeing the other honoured. And when we're linked with Jesus by faith, God says the same to us as he did of Jesus. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. You are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. In Luke 15, you know the story is the story of the prodigal son, the youngest son demanding from his father his inheritance early, goes off into the world and squanders everything. Yet despite the son's appalling behavior, the father never stops looking out for him, watching and waiting to see if he would come home. You know the story. He loses everything and comes back. And even before he says sorry, his father runs to greet him and then throws a party. The oldest son is jealous and won't join in the celebrations. What I found fascinating about this, and I hadn't noticed it before, is that we forget who is telling the story. Jesus is the one who is the narrator here. Narrator here. The one who has the ultimate authority as a perfect son. He tells this story knowing that he will be paying the price for us to have the kind of ending that the youngest son has in the story. He has done wrong, but is not punished for it, rather welcomed home and rejoiced over. The father here waits, watches, runs, dances and kisses. Jesus is the reason that our Heavenly Father does the same when we come to him through acknowledging what Jesus has done for us. Jesus ensures the relationship between us and the Father is one of openness and intimacy. He loves the Father loves the Son, and both of them together want us to share the same relationship. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. In a moment, I'm going to ask Rog to lead us in communion. You see, there's a choice in this relationship. Now, this picture here is one of one-year-old Naomi. She's 24 now. She is wearing her dad's Aston Villa cap, but that does not make her an Aston Villa fan. She has to make the choice to follow that football team, but regardless of her choice, she's still her father's daughter. We are all God's children, regardless of whether we recognize it or not. But the father's love for us is so deep that it cost him his only son. He loves us, so how can we not respond? I wrote these words this week because I felt that they were for someone here or someone listening. And I don't know whether it relates to anybody here, but I just felt I needed to share it. No matter how deep your despair, how deep your pain, how far from seeing your prayers answered, no matter how hard life is, how cruel folk can be, how far you feel away from me, the Father's love is always deeper. No matter what turmoil you may feel, how messy life may seem, how far away your dreams may be, no matter what lies you believe or what you think about yourself, how far you are from where you want to be, the Father's love is always deeper. It's in the depth, it's in the deep, that love is stronger still. When you can't love, remember this, his love remains, and better still, it holds you and never lets you go. And finally, what gift do you give a father, apart from some licorice all sorts or golf balls? The best gift we can give our Heavenly Father is ourselves, our hearts, our time, our obedience, our love.